What's very interesting, about 40 years ago, I was at the Scottish youth camp. It was just in the period of time, and Graham Hutchison said, "Will you take 10 minutes and share something tonight?" I don't think I'd ever done any public speaking before, and I was so scared, and I came up with an idea. And my idea was, instead of me saying something, I'll get people out and I'll interview them. Okay, then. And you think that 40 years later I'd have another string to my bow, but here I am. It worked 40 years ago, and I'm sure it'll work again today. majority of you would have a wee bit of knowledge, but not just because of Shan's time here, but recently we've been able to show one or two videos, and just before Christmas, some of you were able to give a wee bit of support. But for those of us who are not familiar with her story and her journey and what God is doing in Uganda, I'm just going to ask Shan some questions that would be important for me to learn, and hopefully that will be of some value to you as well. So first of all, Shan, thank you so much for being here, and bless you. It's great to have you here. So Shan, what I would love to do, just to start with, before we get to Uganda, is for you to just to give us a little bit about yourself and your story and where you grew up, and non-missionary stuff.
Missionary stuff, okay. Yep, so I'm Shad. I was born in North Wales, hence the name. Grew up in South England, so Berkshire. Went to Leeds University for my undergrad, so I did English and Literature and Language International for my undergrad at Leeds. Felt really cool to do social work, so I came to York for my Masters in Social Work. And then I was here for a total of nearly 5 years in this church. So I did my master and had my first job as a youth offending officer over in Scarborough. So that was my first job. I then moved back to South Wales. My parents had retired to South Wales when my dad became very unwell. From there went back into frontline child protection social work. I am still doing frontline child protection social work. Very recently just did another postgrad in NGO management. So that's charity management. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Brilliant. When I was a teenager, youth offending officers obviously gave a frightened the life out of me, but I'll not talk about my past, okay then? Shan, I just want to ask you then, obviously, last season of your life, you've been very, very involved in missions and the work in Uganda. So just tell us how you got involved in BioGems, and just how you found yourself basically in Uganda, and then we'll move on to the bigger story. But what your introduction to missions work, how did that happen?
So I myself, I'm a missionary child. So both my parents were missionaries with CMS, so Church Mission Society. My father was a medical superintendent of some hospitals in Uganda during the Idi Amin era. And my mum was in Burundi as a teacher just following the genocide, basically. That was kind of my history. I grew up and I was born in the UK, and I grew up in the UK, but very much felt drawn to, Africa generally, just because of my parents' stories, and especially my dad's stories of what had happened when he had been out there, and his stories of kind of faith and God's provision and protection despite all odds. So that was very powerful influence on me. When I was 17, I didn't become a Christian until I was 17, and I went away to Soul Survivor and became a Christian at Soul Survivor, and had a very clear experience of God's presence. That was following a talk by Mike Pulavachi on children in Africa. So I actually became a Christian at the same time that I felt slightly pulled towards something myself. Ironically, when I was about 11, my parents actually sent me to Kenya because I was desperate to go to Africa. So they sent me off to Kenya, and I hated every single second of it. And I vowed as a child that I'd never go back to Africa. I just really despised it. Later on, they have a They had a friend. So during all of that time, my dad used to be a mentor for young Christian or, you know, young in the faith as well, Christian men in Uganda. And one of these had set up a children's home following the war in Uganda to pick up all the street children that were coming out of the war and who were living on the street as a consequence of being orphaned. And he came to our church and spoke very powerfully. And I always knew him as a bit of a second father to me, went out to Uganda. And to cut a very long story short, he unfortunately was abusing those children in that children's home in lots of different ways, whether it was exploiting them through child labour, also sexual abuse and etc. And he was very, very well connected. He was very well politically connected. And those who know the story, it was a bit of a James Bond kind of rescue scenario. And that's actually how I became involved. So it wasn't a plan. It wasn't something that I sat down one day and thought, what do I want to do with my life? I wasn't qualified as a social worker then. So that was before I even did my master's. So I was still about 18, 19 that happened. I felt really that burden to continue walking with them. And originally they went to stay with another children's home that was run by a local Christian couple. And unfortunately, they also were misusing the money. And then in 2009, I decided to step in as to kind of, I guess, take over, really. And we kind of moved independently in Uganda, got registered in Uganda. So that's the story.
So I just want to delve into that. So obviously that's your introduction to these children that needed care, yeah, and spiritual support. So tell us what then now that I'm kind of jumping ahead, but tell us what BioGems is and what is its raison d'etre? Why is BioGems existing now and what's its purpose?
Yeah. So BioGems, we have to look at it in terms of kind of two stages. So the first stage was a crisis kind of response, really, to those youngsters that needed protection, care, provision. So it started off as kind of a residential provision. But through my work and through my understanding, I really felt the best thing for children is to be with their families and to do support with families to keep children safe in that country. So once we actually, a lot of the young people have now graduated, they've gone through university or they're in university, we're actually run out there by our own graduates. So Joel is a social worker now, he's the manager. We have gone really into community-based work, so supporting families, supporting children in the local community to be safe. So we as an organisation, we only work with children who are being abused or at very, very high risk. So we kind of leave children kind of in need or poverty for other organisations to pick up. And so we take the ones that are very kind of critical, I guess. So, yeah, I could obviously give you some stories perhaps of that, but yeah.
Tell us about, I suppose I want to dig a wee bit deeper into BioGems. So what team do you have on the ground just now, either here in the UK or over in Uganda, and kind of who's doing what?
Okay, so we are a registered charity in Uganda, first and foremost, which is called NGO, which is why I went and did NGO management. So that has a trustee board of quite a spread of people, actually. One who's an American missionary, has been there for 25 years. You've got one who runs one of the hospitals there. So we've got a huge spread on the trustee board. And then we have a very relatively small core staff team. So we have Joel, who's one of our own graduates, who is now a qualified social worker. We have Liz, who is a female support worker. And we have Peter, who's a support worker. He translates for us because we work between different tribal areas. So we have language translations across the different tribal areas. And then we also have people that come on for seasonal work. So especially for our camps and things like that, we have local people, particularly through the church that we work with and volunteer with us throughout that time. And obviously I have oversight of the Uganda side. So the UK side, we're a registered charity now in UK. So we have our trustee board. Penny is one of the trustees. And we also have some volunteers who do different things. So I have someone who produces all of our videos and takes our photos to people that might come out more regularly to come and do the camps or develop the material for the camps. So Yeah, and I oversee the UK side as well. So that kind of how it happens. Yeah.
Brilliant. I just want to kind of touch on the camps because we some people supported some of the kids to go away. And I mean, I've watched some of the videos on YouTube as well, and just hundreds of kids just worshiping Jesus. So obviously, we've got these very individual kids who are in great need. But what kids are invited to camp? What is the purpose of the camp itself?
Yeah. So the camp was what we thought was a good idea. I think it did turn out to be a good idea. It was one of those things that we felt, you know what, we feel very insulated. We feel a bit disconnected from the community in which we're living. So we had our residential tribally. A lot of the young people were of a different tribe because we had come in from the capital. So we felt quite disconnected. And even though we had a partnership with the church, we were like, you know, it's really important to be engaged with your local community. I think if you're doing any sort of mission work, you have to do it with the local community. So we thought, you know, came up with this idea of partnering with the local church to do a camp. And one of that was to be evangelistic, basically to share the gospel with children and families. The second is to actually identify families. There's no social welfare system, so there's no referral system, no network for children or families at all. If you lose your job, you could be on the street within 2 weeks. You know, there is no kind of safety net. And so we rely on people in the community to tell us if there's a problem, and you need to have trust with the local community, and you need to be seen as someone who's, you know, going to help. So by doing the camp, we've actually raised our profile. So most, I would say, everyone probably knows who we are now. And that means that when there is a child or there is a problem, they do come to us and say, we've got this child, we don't know what to do with this situation, please can you help us out? And we actually help to mediate and manage things like the police, who aren't always doing what they're supposed to be doing, and etc. So we kind of work with all partners to help to resolve that. So it started about 4 years ago. It was actually just me there at the time, and I thought, this will be fine. We'll have like maybe 20 kids. It'll be really nice, you know. So 150 turned up on the first day, and I got a few notes. You know, I thought I will just do this off the cuff. So each night I had to go, and I literally worked for like 3 or 4 hours each night to develop material for the following day for all these kids that were turning up. And then it just became a thing. So we now have up to 600 children regularly during the week. And then on the last day, we tend to have about 800 children turn up. And each year we pick a theme. So this year was knowing God, the practical application of faith. So it means like not just saying, I know God, but actually, what does that mean practically for our everyday lives? So each day was something different, and then they have fellowship with each other, we do worship together, and then we do home visits and visit children and their families at home. And through that, a lot of their families have come to know the Lord and come into church. Their church, since we've been starting it, their children's work has just growing enormously. That people within the church, they value children so much now. The amount of people coming up to be children's teachers, and we've also got a pastor that actually planted out a children's ministry as well from working with us for the camp. So it's been quite a huge kind of impact, I think.
I mean, I was just encouraged yesterday. I know it's a slightly aside, but we noticed on Facebook that these guys got a new sort of transporter van, and I was just so encouraged. I was so happy for you. But just tell us about just God's goodness and that, because we just love to celebrate good stories.
So for the past 10 years, we've been a very resourceful charity, I think would be the way to put it. So we've done everything by public transport. Even when I've gone out there, I've done everything by public transport, especially when I was a student. We always kind of had that mentality that, you know, we just had to make do with what we had. And we have obviously developed all of this community work and the camps and things like that. And we were starting to get into the habit of having to hire a vehicle. Now, a vehicle to hire for maybe 2 weeks is kind of £250-300 before you've even started to put on, you know, the petrol and all that kind of stuff. And we just thought, you know, we can't sustain this. We can't. We're going out. We're being sent out. We're getting referrals for right into the bush, you know, 2 hours public transport. You visit them once, you try to sort out the situation, and then your staff, it's so far, they can't even contemplate the idea of going back again the following week, you know. And we thought, we just desperately need this vehicle. And vehicles are quite expensive because you have to import them there. So we, last year, just thought, this is impossible. You know, how are we going to raise, you know, £10,000 for a vehicle and convince people that we really need it? And I think we did our appeal out in the October. By the December, we had the full £10,000. And what was really funny then, this is another part of the testimony, was that we go through this whole consultation period and you have to chat about it on the Uganda side. You have to go do research and then you have to talk about the UK side. It was going, you know, back and forwards. And we thought we finally got the vehicle that we wanted. And the law changed literally overnight. The government was like, right, we're not going to import these vehicles anymore. So we're like, we've just spent ages like fundraising and doing all this stuff. And the vehicles that were now coming in were now 20,000, not 10,000, because they were coming in and everyone was putting their prices up. And we just thought, oh no. And my social worker was sending me these pictures of these really horrible looking vehicles. And I was thinking, what are we going to do? And then suddenly he went to one of the bonds. And he sent me this message and he goes, I've just found this. I was like, okay. And he was like, and it's cheaper. It's like 8,000. I was like, okay. And then he took a mechanic and he was like, the engine's new. And yeah, mind blowing. So yeah, we got that vehicle. So amazing. God's good. Yeah.
Sharon, can I just want to jump back. I know you can't speak to us about any individual story. We wouldn't do that. But, you know, is there any stories with these kids and, you know, they've been rescued and just, you know, and they've been part of the journey of Biogems. They've stayed in it and you've got that relationship and they're grown in God, because it's a whole thing about practical safety and care and then just them discovering Jesus and having a whole new life again. And so, I mean, I know you can't speak individually, but are the kids who are being rescued, are they staying on that journey of Biogems with you? Are you seeing just, I suppose, the fruit of your labour?
We have a bit of a joke, which is that we're a family business. Obviously, we're not a business because we're non-profit, but we love to do things as a family. So for the camp, our university students and some of our graduates come back to serve at the camp. That's quite important. So everyone, I would say almost 80%, I think, of our original group of youngsters went all the way through, graduated, went through university, went into, you know, I think there's always the ones that... You get them as far as A-levels and it all goes wrong for them, you know. But I think we've had a huge kind of success rate in that. Obviously, we have Joel, who's quite a success story himself. So he now runs everything, you know, out there when I'm not there. And I think that's incredible, you know, from his history, going through graduating from social work, taking on that responsibility. And he does incredibly well with it. We have Joseph. Joseph decided to go on and start a little school. So he's been working on doing a school for disadvantaged children. And I think, you know, success is always in different ways. You know, the fact that a lot of them are even in university for them is an absolute miracle. I think every single youngster that's gone through our care has been the first in their family to reach university, those that have gone. So generationally, it's changing a whole kind of generation, really. It's changing a whole family's prospects. So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit, just about what's your dreams about for Biogems, for that region in Uganda, for, you know, we'll come and talk about, you know, what God might want for you in the future, but just for Biogems, what would you love to see happen through that organization and that ministry in the future?
Yeah, I think one thing to say, first of all, is that I am myself kind of blown away, really, about where we are now, how it started. I just think, you know, how did this even happen, I guess. One thing that we're really looking at the moment and we're really, really working towards is purchasing a piece of land in Rukungiri, which is where we are within the community, because we are looking at consolidated expanding our children's work and ministry. So as well as having our family home and our community offices and things, actually doing a children's church there. So complementing and supporting the local churches around by having a children's church they can come to on a Sunday afternoon, we can really boost, because at the moment we're going to the plant churches and supporting them with their children's ministry. So we're doing actually a mobile kind of unit, but yeah, having that base and being able to, I think, strengthen the community response to children and families in need, and particularly children at risk. So all of this is about actually recognizing their desire to make a change, but actually, because the way the system is, it's helping them to create pathways for children and develop that. So that would really be my desire, is obviously for us to expand, but actually to expand the community's recognition of child protection issues and their response to it. So
you're obviously practically working a full-time job here in the UK and running an organisation in Africa. That seems like a massive amount of juggling of your time and your own resources. Would you love to go full time? What would be your heart ultimately to do?
Yes. No. I think I am really, I'm really grateful for the opportunity that God gave me to be a social worker in the UK and to be in child protection for so long. I really learn. I think sometimes we can really desire something that's over here, but we have to go through season of preparation. And I wouldn't be able to do BioGyms as I do now if it wasn't for the work and the experience that I've built up in the UK. And I think that is really important. My heart is to go full-time into BioGyms, however that happens. First of all, whether it is being here and then going out more often, but eventually I would love to move out to Uganda and to live there full-time. So that's my heart, yeah.
Okay, we've covered a lot, and I hope that's been insightful and helpful. And even for those of you who have heard Shan's story, in the early days when I'd come up, Graham gave me a wee bit of insight about what Shan was doing, and she's just, for me, she reiterated some of that story, rescuing those kids, and it's just like, what is like something out of James Bond, and it's just, you know, it's just these heroes of the faith, and I just compliment Shan so much for what she's done, and it just shows you how a whole area and a whole zone of children's lives can be changed because one person is willing to put themselves in the will of God. And so please, everyone, be encouraged by that. But I suppose the question I want to come back and close with is, what can we do as a church to support you and to support the work of BioGyms?
Well, first of all, and this is a bit of a cliche to say, but it's true, like, praying is really important and standing with us and keeping up to date with us. You know, we do have a Facebook page, and that isn't just so that you can kind of know what we're doing. It's so that you can interact with us and actually say, you know what, that's great, you've just done that. You know, that's really encouraging to us. You know, you don't want to be putting effort into telling people about stuff and then you get nothing, you know. So actually, if you can, even a very simple thing is, please just find us on Facebook and interact with us. We would really love that. Obviously, there is financial support, you know, and at the moment, we are looking for monthly supporters, and we are quite keen to get monthly supporters in order to cover our monthly outgoings, basically our community work, our residential work. So we are really, really looking for monthly supporters. And if you feel particularly touched and want to give a one-off gift, we are currently going for our land appeal at the moment. So we're at £8,000 already, and we need to get to about 20 to get our land. So if you would like you don't want to worry about monthly stuff, but you're happy to give a one-off gift, perhaps consider that. And you know, for some people, it might be that you want to do something or volunteer or do a little fundraiser here or whatever. Yeah, so there's the ideas.
Guys, you have got so much more contact with the story of BioGyms than I have. But I still want to come back and really just encourage you so much. You know, even if it was, I mean, it's, you know, £10 a month or whatever, that may not be a lot to what the incredible cost that these guys have in running this organization. But if all of us did something like that, it could make a massive difference. So the more the merrier. And we as a church, under Graham's ministry and the Ministry of the Leadership, have supported Shan in a monthly. That's something that we as a leadership will have to pick up again. It was just an oversight there, but we will pick that up. But and we as a church, we will continue to support her. But there's something about that sense of personal ownership or belonging, and just to say, this is my missionary, this is someone that we give, you know, and it, you know, it may be for us just a couple of cups of coffee a month or whatever, and just make that wee sacrifice. And so please, if you're able to support, and there's two ways that you can do that. You can give, make that very, very clear to one of the leaders in your giving, and we will work out how we give through missions into the missions pot in the months to come. Or you can speak to Shan today about how you can give into BioGyms directly, and you're allowed to do that as an individual. As corporately, we have to go through Elam headquarters and because of the charity laws, etc. But as an individual, you can support Shan, and she will be able to help you today in how you can do that. And even, I know we've got Facebook and that's a great way, but even if you pick up a little card at the back, if you haven't got just a picture of Shan and the team or just one of the logos, stick it on the fridge, pray for her. Just pray for her, you know, every day or every, a couple of times a week, and just remind yourself, because prayer is the thing. It's God's spirit has rescued these kids and through these people being spirit empowered. So please, 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 can I encourage us as a church? This is a great story for us to be part of. And I just want to encourage all of us individually through our individual support or corporate support. Shan, bless you. What, just an amazing job there. How was that for timing? And what I'd like to do now, I would love to pray for you. You're here, and I'm going to invite some of the leaders just to come round, and for the church to stand. I'll get the worship team to sort of sneak up behind us, and they'll go straight into a time of worship. And obviously we're praying for your whole team, so you're representing them today. We just want to stand and just pray for God, that this God's favour of what you do. I know it's still a very vulnerable situation in terms of the risk for these children and safeguarding all the stuff that comes with that and the transport and the money. And obviously in African countries, there's a lot of bribery and there's a lot of stuff goes on. You guys have to protect yourselves from that. And we just pray that God will give you wisdom, how to spend that money, how to be good stewards of that. But God will look after your team as well. Because with that comes the whole reputation of this whole ministry, which it stood upon, and it just takes somebody to say something that's not true, whatever. I mean, you need God's protection, and we need God to look after what you guys are doing, because what you're doing is amazing, and we just want the very best for you. So shall we stand, okay then? And I'm opening this up to one or two of the leaders, but some of you who are not directly in leadership have followed Shan's story. And if you guys just want to come out to the front, we're just going to come round there, and we're just going to pray and just ask God just to give her wisdom, to bless her, to show this amazing ministry of rescue. There's few things that just tear my heart apart, and it's to think of children being hurt, and you only have to be a parent to understand that. It leaves us breathless of the heartache that some of these kids go through, and we could barely even talk about some of those awful stories. And this team have been sent by God to go and rescue these children and to give them a whole new life. Wow, they're our heroes on the ground, and we honour them today by praying for them. So I'm going to ask, thank Rob for being, but is there anybody else that wants to come and join me and just come around this amazing dreamer here that we have before us, and that God will just do the impossible through this team. Guys, thank you so much. I'm going to pray, and if there's any of those who have come out, just want a microphone and just to bring a word to Shan and just to bless her and just to honour her, please. So my prayer is just, I want us, and church, all of you, just even to put your hands out and just lift your hands out towards Shan. I believe in the power of prayer so much, and this is such a supernatural thing that's happening, and we're part of that journey. But these people, they are just, we just honour them. They're doing an amazing job. And so I'm going to pray, but please, will you pray for Shan and the team? Will you pray for these children? Will you pray for the political context that's happening in Uganda and across Africa as the world wakes up to human trafficking and to child abuse, and that people see the awfulness of it, and as world leaders get a sense of true justice and care for the children of our world. And it's voices like this who are doing it on the ground that make the difference. So just to let your heart just reach out into the very depth of heaven, and just to call upon God and to say, God, will you just bless this woman? Will you bless this team before us, and just do something that surprises us all at the next stage. So, Father, we come before you and we pray for Shan and we pray for the team, we pray for BioGems. We pray for the vision that lies before us as a church and for this amazing team. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us dream a little bit. The potential of what's going on here. Father, this is one tiny zone in Africa, one area, one community. But, oh God, Father, Lord, this is a global problem. It's a global problem. But I thank you, Lord, just for the amazing work that this lass is doing. And I just honor her. I pray, Lord, that you'll just... I'm saying give her the desires of her heart, Lord, and her heart is in Uganda and for these children. But I just pray that you'll bless her tenfold and our own personal dreams and desires true. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added. And I just want to honor her, look after her financially, bless her family back here in the UK. Lord, just... Father, Lord, just cause her eyes to be opened to every child miracle that lies before her, and those unseen miracles that we've not come in contact yet with, lives that are changed forever, because somebody believed in them and somebody cared enough. Give them wisdom how to manage their organization. Give them talented, gifted, caring people to add to their team. Father, may the story of this transporter van, may that just be, Father, one amazing sign after another. And may it not end there, but just give them this land. Father, give them this center. Give them this place that they can, Father, be, Lord, a real statement in this community. That lost children and victimized people can run to for rescue. Father, Lord, your name is at stake here because Jesus is the rescuer of our souls. And I just pray for the anointing of God to be all over this thing. Father, for Shan, for the team, for the Lord, for the victims and the families that are affected by the damage it's done, the aunties, uncles, the mums, the people who are helpless to do something and are watching helplessly because they're concerned about their own safety too. Father, it goes far and it goes deep. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just break the powers of darkness and that light, Father, would come to this whole community. And that the power of Jesus, Father, would liberate and transform and rescue. And that, Father, this team would be filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom. And that love would not be a prescription, but it'd be something that just flows out of the heart of all, that is all, everything that this is about. And that these children would feel loved, truly loved by adults who genuinely care about their well-being. Lord, I pray for the kingdom of God to come in all of its power and that the gates of hell will not withstand against it. Lord, I pray for your power to be revealed. I pray for your anointing to be upon the leadership. Father, it wouldn't all be on Shan's shoulders. But Lord, that Father, the giftedness and the bravery of this lass, Father, Lord, would inspire others, Father, to take up the mantle. Add to her team. Provide for them financially. Honor them one and all, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a moment or two and just hear what God's Spirit is saying, guys. Maybe a prophetic word, or maybe a word of encouragement, or there may just be another prayer from one of my leaders. Thank you. But let's just wait on God now and let God just come in now and bless what he wants to do.
reminded of how BioGems was started in a surprising way, and where BioGems is now is probably not how it might have been envisaged or planned 5 years ago. So Father God, with the plans that we've heard about from Sian and her heart, I just pray into that, Father God, that you will, when you bless things, you don't just sprinkle on blessing. We read that you will bless abundantly, and I pray that you will bless in surprising ways as well. That there'll be opportunities that come up, and things in the long term that will be totally surprising to the team in a really good way. We pray for your protection over things that might come up that are not from you, that have come to harm BioGems. We pray for your protection in that, and we pray that there will be surprising things that will bless them abundantly, Father God. May they be in a place in 10 years' time, in 5 years' time, that's totally different from what they could have asked or imagined, Father God.
Shannon, I just want to just encourage you. I know you've got an amazing dream and an incredible story to tell in the past, and I know it's your story has been evolving, and it's been degrees, and there's been highs, and there's been lows. But I'm so excited, my own heart, and I'm hoping that this is just spilling out into. But I want to truly encourage you to not hold back in your dreaming, in your vision, and just to believe in the impossible, and to not limit it to the confines of your story this far and the pace of things, because God's just is exponential. God can multiply at a moment's notice, and it just takes a turning of a corner, one high official in government, one incredible donator. You know, it just takes something for this thing. And I don't want to get carried away and say this thing can explode, but it's just. Expect surprises along the way, amazing surprises, and just to hold out for those moments that are just sort of big leaps forward, and God can do that. And I just sense God is just, you know, wanting you to not confine yourself to those ordinary steps and seeing what happens, but just to, you know, sit down and write the script and then believe in a little bit more. And I just think that what God is saying, and it's an amazing song, it's in back of my mind, a worship song, but really it's the best is yet to come. And it's just a story of God and Jesus turning the water into wine, and he kept the best till last, the very best wine till last. And I just think God is saying the best is yet to come. And for you just to refresh yourself in that truth as well as you get caught up in paperwork and finances. But this is the reality is that God has no limitations whatsoever, and he will do what he needs to do to just bring God's kingdom into this situation. So I just want to encourage you just with a word of encouragement, a prophecy, but I just for you to stick your head above the parapet and believe in things that you were maybe a little bit nervous to believe in before, but just, you know, God is there prophetically for you. Bless you, Shan.